Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We heard an amazing story today from Marnie. The story of Billy Neil Moore is equally as amazing. It's a true story, but an amazing story that I read this week, and I just want to share it with you quickly. Billy Moore was in the Army. He was 22 years old, and he returned from deployment to some terrible news. His wife had gotten involved with drugs and was having an affair with the drug dealer. Billy and his wife had a 3-year-old son, and so Billy took the boy to come and live with him in his trailer to try to keep him safe and away from the drug scene. Unfortunately, his paychecks from the Army were in his wife's name, and so he wasn't receiving any money from the Army to help pay for rent, food, or other expenses. And the Army said that they couldn't get it changed for at least 90 days. Scared and not knowing what he was going to do without money to take care of his little boy, Billy did something terrible that would change his life forever. He heard about an old man in town that had lots of money that he would carry around, thousands of dollars in his wallet. And so late one night, Billy broke into this man's house to hopefully steal some of the money and then get out before anyone saw him. But while he was in the house, Billy heard a loud sound, and in reaction, he pulled out a gun and he shot at where the sound was coming from. He heard a thud and knew immediately that he had shot and killed the old man. The next day, the police came to Billy's trailer. He confessed right away to the robbery and murder and was arrested. He went to jail and was sentenced to die by electric chair in 3 months. But during these 3 months, Billy became a new man. He received Jesus and became a Christian. He was baptized in a bathtub right there in prison. And when it came time for his execution, it was unexplainably delayed and pushed back. And if you can believe it, for the next 16 and a half years, it kept on getting delayed over and over and over again, a record 13 times. In this time, Billy became a completely new man. He studied the Bible. He even graduated from Bible college while he was in prison. He taught his fellow inmates about Jesus and was involved in baptizing a number of them. He also wrote to his victim's family asking if they could find it in their hearts to forgive him for the horrible thing that he had done. Well, the family, they were Christians as well, and they forgave him. In fact, they actually began a relationship with him where they wrote back and forth for years to come. After 16 and a half years, there were no more delays. Billy Moore was to be executed for his crime. But just 7 hours before he was to die, the execution was stopped once and for all. What he found out years later was that the victim's family, of all people, had petitioned the court to keep Billy from being executed. Billy spent 6 more years in prison and then was finally released. He took his fresh start and he has done amazing things with it. He's now married once again. He's an ordained minister who travels literally the world speaking about the power of forgiveness, and he remains in contact with the victim's family. That's an incredible story. Well, when I heard this story, I thought, what a perfect story to share on this day. When we're talking about two guys that actually had a story similar to that as well. They had done some very unfortunate things, but God in his way had a way of redeeming those things and then sending them out to work for him. The first one, St. Peter. And the second one, St. Paul. Now, St. Peter, he was called by Jesus as one of the 12 disciples. When Jesus came to Peter, he was just a regular fisherman. And he said to him, "If you follow me, I'm going to make you a fisher of men." And so for the next 3 years, that's what Peter and the other disciples did. They followed Jesus. They learned from Jesus. They'd see the miracles that Jesus did, the way that he loved on people and shared with them the kingdom of heaven. But then Jesus is arrested, and he's beaten and made fun of, and Peter follows closely behind. But some people there in the courtyard look at Peter and they're like, wait a minute, you're one of them. I saw you with Jesus. And three times Peter says, "I don't know him. I'm not his disciple. I don't have anything to do with Jesus." And then in the book of Luke, it says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. Here we have this guy that started out good, but then he made a terrible decision, just like Billy Moore, out of fear. And he denied Jesus three times. The second guy that we talked about here in our readings today, St. Paul. Well, St. Paul used to go by a different name. It was Saul of Tarsus. And in Acts chapter 7, we see the first martyr of the Christian faith, Stephen. And it says, "At this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at Stephen, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul." Saul was a Pharisee. And Saul was someone that was very quickly going up through the ranks. He was being trained under the greatest Pharisee of his day, Gamaliel. And so what were the people doing by laying their coats in front of him? They were saying, Paul was saying, "I consent to this. Yes, kill him for being a Christian." And then a couple of chapters later, we see Saul of Tarsus once again. It says, "Saul went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way," that's another name for Christianity, "whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." So here we have this guy that started out really bad. He was literally a Christian killer. And if he didn't kill you, he was going to put you into prison. And so as he was on his way to Damascus, he has this divine encounter. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around Saul. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And so he had this radical experience. But look at the terrible things that he had done. Maybe you can relate in a small way. Hopefully not just like Saul or just like Peter. But I'm sure you've got regrets in your life. I do. We all do. And sometimes what happens when we have those regrets of things that we wish we wouldn't have done or with things that we wish we wouldn't have said, it fills us with shame. And we think to ourselves, could God ever forgive me? And even if he could forgive me, could he ever use me anymore? And sometimes we come to the conclusion that the answer is no. Well, thank God that when it came to Peter and Saul, later to be called Paul, that wasn't the end of the story. So Jesus does go to the cross. He's laid in the tomb. He dies, but then he rises again. And after he rises again, he finds Peter and has a discussion with him, as we see in our gospel lesson for today. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Why did Jesus ask Peter three times, "Do you love me?" You know why he did? Because Peter had used that same mouth to deny Jesus three times. Three times Peter had said, "I don't know him. I'm not his disciple. I have nothing to do with Jesus." And God takes us at our words. In fact, a little bit earlier in the Gospels, when Jesus had just risen from the dead, he said to Mary, "Go and tell my disciples and Peter that I'm going ahead of them into Galilee." In other words, go and tell my remaining disciples and the one who said with his own mouth, "He's not my disciple." Go and tell them I'm going ahead of them into Galilee. And so what was Jesus doing here? He was basically saying to Peter, "I want you to know I forgive you for every one of those three denials of me, and I'm giving you the opportunity to use that same mouth to say, I do love you. I do know you. I do want to follow you." And then did you notice what did Jesus say to him after each one of those things? He said, "Feed my lambs." In other words, you have been forgiven, you have been reinstated, and now I've got a job for you to do. Why does Jesus save us from our sin? Number one, because he loves us. And the Bible says he doesn't want anyone to be condemned. He doesn't want anyone to live or die apart from him. But number two, because he still has plans for every one of us. And he wants us to accomplish those plans before we go home to heaven. We see this in Ephesians 2. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This is why Jesus died on a cross, to take our place, to take our punishment, so now that just by putting our trust in him, our sins can be completely forgiven. But then he says in verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Until we give our lives over to Jesus Christ, we can't be about those things that God had for us to do before we were ever born. But as soon as we are baptized and we receive Jesus and receive his forgiveness, then God goes, "Now you can actually do those things that I put you here on this earth to do in the very first place." Here's our very important point for today. It's this. God isn't calling you away, just away from your past life. A lot of people look at Christianity that way. They say, "You know what? Why would I ever want to be a Christian? He's always telling me no to all the things I want to do." Well, he's not just calling you away from those things. God is also calling you to a new, more meaningful, more fulfilling, more exciting life. A life that's working alongside him to accomplish his amazing things in this world. It's not just about saying no, it's about saying yes. God knows that the old life of sin and living in opposition to God, it's like a major distraction from what God really wants to do in your and my life. And what does he want to do? He wants to work with us to accomplish amazing things in this world that are going to be far more meaningful far more exciting, far more fulfilling than anything you and I could ever come up with. It's not just calling away from, it's calling to something great. How about that second guy, Saul of Tarsus? So Saul is imprisoning and killing Christians. He has that experience with Jesus. He has this bright light hit him in the eyes. Jesus speaks to him, and for a time he goes blind. The next few verses say, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision and said, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man called Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and bring their kings and the people of Israel. God was saying, Saul, even for killing and imprisoning my people, because of what Jesus did on the cross, I forgive you, and I'm going to use you to accomplish great things in this world. And he says the same thing as he said to Peter and Saul, he says to you and me. He said, I have a plan for you. And I don't know if you can read it down there, but it says, and it will be used to bless the world around you. God wants to forgive you because he loves you. And then he wants to start a brand new, more exciting, more meaningful life for you and for me. And what does that meaningful, exciting life look like? Well, just like Peter and Saul. The first thing he said to Peter is over and over again, feed my sheep. In other words, love on my people. Share the love of Jesus with the world. In your words, in your actions, take the incredible love of Jesus out into the world and bless the world. And just like Saul, he says, go forth and proclaim the name of Jesus. This is it. This is the whole life that God has for you and me. When we offer ourselves to him, he'll say, go share the love of Jesus, go share the message of Jesus with the world, because that's what this world desperately, desperately needs. Now, one of the things I love about God is that he doesn't sugarcoat things. He lets us know what we're getting ourselves into. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be meaningful. It's going to be fulfilling. But he also says, it's not going to be easy. So Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep. But then he says this, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. He's saying, Peter, I reinstate you. I forgive you. You're going to go forth and do amazing things in feeding people the love and the message of Jesus. But you're going to suffer for it because the world doesn't like Jesus. In fact, you're actually going to have the opportunity to die for your faith. But this is what life is all about. This is why I created you. And you are going to find fulfillment and meaning in this new life like you've never had before. Follow me. And he says the same thing to Saul. The Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Saul, you too. I forgive you. I reinstate you. Go and share the love and the message of Jesus with the world. But you too are going to suffer for doing that as well. But this is the reason I created you. And it's going to be so much better than anything you could have ever come up with. That brand new life is available to you and to me as well. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter how badly you've messed up your life. Because it says in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. On that cross, Jesus took the punishment for even the biggest sins in your life. And because he took it, you don't have to take it again. You just put your trust in him, and he says, all is forgiven. You have a brand new start in life. I love this passage from Lamentations 3. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I think about this passage almost every morning when I wake up, because one of the first things that comes through my mind is all the dumb things that I did the day before. But then I remember this. Because of Jesus, his mercies are new every single morning. I wake up and I have a fresh start, a clean slate. My sins have been forgiven. And he says, I want to put you to work, working with me. And all that's necessary for you and I to receive this meaningful, fulfilling, amazing life of working with our Lord is just open hands to say, Lord God, I'm yours. I belong to you. God wants to forgive you. God wants to reinstate you. And God wants to use you in a way that you could never have imagined. May we be a people that say, I'm yours, God. I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.